Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, today, the homosexuals are getting married in Massachusetts. Last year, this time, month was an H-free zone. The month of May was an H-free zone on Bob Enyart Live. For the whole month, we didn't discuss homosexuals, homosexuality. We wouldn't take calls from homosexuals. It was just flat out an H-free zone. It was so refreshing. But this month, with homosexual marriages occurring today for the first time in American history, recognized by a state, it's tragic that we weren't able to pull off an H-free zone. We actually didn't try it. We knew this was coming up. So what kind of a world has this development taken place in? Well, here in today's Denver Post, just a couple symptoms. See if things are getting better or things are getting worse. Parents now are spending more money on prescriptions for psychotropic drugs. That's to control their kids' behavior, to treat attention deficit disorder, ADD, and other behavioral disorders. More money on that than on antibiotics to treat disease. How's that? How's that? Because a liberal, what's a liberal to do? People don't know how to discipline kids. If kids just flat out won't obey because they disrespect you and because they have not been taught self-control, right? That's why kids don't pay attention and don't obey, because they don't respect their parents or their teachers. I should say and, not or. You know your Boolean logic, right? You went to public high school. Kids don't respect their parents and their teachers, and they don't have the self-control. I don't mean all kids, obviously, but many kids, enough to make it an epidemic. They don't respect their parents and their teachers, and they don't have the self-control. So we medicate them. And now parents are spending more money on psychotropic drugs like Ritalin and others. Virtually all the shooters at the high schools across the country were on some kind of drug. And basically, if you want to know technically, scientifically, how the drugs work, it's just like a rum and coke. There's not much difference. It'll mellow out the kids. They feel better about the day. They feel better about sitting in the chair and listening to the teacher. So we could give them rum and coke, and we'd save a lot of money, but we give them Ritalin and other drugs. And Eric Harris, one of the two murderers from Columbine, the autopsy revealed he had a therapeutic dose of his drug of choice, his public school-approved, family doctor-administered drug, in his system. So now parents, for the first time now, we're spending more on behavioral control drugs than we are on treating disease, at least bacteria, on antibiotics for kids. How's that? What else? What other symptom of the world that homosexual marriage has arrived into? Well, here in today's Denver Post, in Colorado Springs, there's a new kind of shelter. A new kind of shelter for parents. Well, could parents? No, I guess it's for children. It's for parents? The shelter gives parents a timeout by allowing them to drop off their kids at the shelter instead of hurting your child. If you're about to hurt your child, instead call a taxi. Or if you can bear with yourself and with them for another few minutes, load them up into the car and bring them to a new shelter where you can drop off your kids for up to 3 days. And that way you won't be able to hurt them because they're in a shelter. What a great idea. Why didn't we think of this sooner? This is just brilliant. Talk about a timely service. This is just great. And so what age is here in this article in the Denver Compost? You think the Denver Post writer could be sharp enough to know that this is a really, really stupid idea? What ages will they take, kids? You know, because my wife and I might want to go out to dinner. Let's see here. Save money on a babysitter. They don't take 16-year-olds, honey. Oh, brother. My wife and I were so excited when we read this. We thought, a weekend alone. Boy, that would have been great. All right, they don't take teenagers, wimps, coward liberals, social do-gooders. All right, so forget that. So homosexual marriage has been birthed into a country that the parents are spending more money on drugs to medicate their children to control their behavior than they are to fight disease on antibiotics, and where parents can now drop off their kids just in the nick of time so they don't kill them. I wonder if you could do it anonymously and how many times a week. If you could only do it for 72 hours, if you could do it twice a week, that's okay. Only 72 hours. If you could do it twice a week, that's okay. If you can only drop off your kids once a week, my question is, don't they care about the kids the other four days out of the week? They only care about kids for 72 hours and then what? Sorry, kids. See you in hell. That's it. They only care about them for 3 days. All right. Bob Enyart Live, the phone number 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Yesterday, Sunday at Denver Bible Church, we had the caller Bob from Aurora in Sunday school. He came out with his dad, and Bob and I sort of team taught the Sunday school or debate it. I think we debate it in front of the Sunday school. And it was really interesting. Bob thinks somehow we misunderstood his position. So really, he's just misunderstood. But we understood his position perfectly. In fact, I could write a paper on it and I'm sure describe it accurately. And it was an extraordinary debate. I wish we had recorded it. We don't record Sunday school at Denver Bible Church. But it was just extraordinary. I'd love to know if Bob thought it was a debate. So did he think he won the debate? Was it just a defeat or was it a slaughter? These are questions that could be answered. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278. In Maybank, Texas, Tom, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, sir. Yes.
I'm a retired federal law enforcement.
Oh, that's cool.
And I just got finished reading your abortion vigilantism worksheet.
On our website at KGOV, KGOV.com, under Bob's writings, we just added a new pamphlet, and it's on the issue of some anti-abortionists say that it's good and right to kill abortionists, to shoot or kill them. And so we have a worksheet on that, and it's got 56 questions. And so, Tom, you just read it. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, for 30 years, I've been in a quandary because people would say, well, you know, the Bible says that you can use deadly force to defend an innocent third party.
Right.
And, of course, if someone believes that abortion is murder.
Right. It is more. It is murder.
That little baby in the womb is an innocent third party.
Well, so, he is an innocent human being. Right.
And so no one has ever been able to, you know, answer the questions to my satisfaction.
And another, can I understand, in other words, the dilemma was, in your gut, you felt that it would be wrong to take a gun and go shoot an abortionist.
Yeah, in my gut.
But you weren't sure how to rebut those who were advocating it. How do you refute their arguments?
Exactly.
Right. Okay, I get it.
And, you know, I'm a graduate of the Federal Academy, a police training academy in Glencoe, Georgia. And that's where they train all the federal officers.
Right.
And they never really could answer it either.
Oh.
And I've talked to ministers over the years and never did quite get a satisfactory answer. But I think that every law enforcement officer should read this thing.
Oh, wow. Tom.
And in fact, with your permission, Bob, yeah. I'd like to send this thing to the teaching staff down at the Federal Academy.
I'll pay the postage. To permission, sure, Tom, we'd be thrilled, because the more people understand the principles of godly government and justice, the better. It helps us preach the gospel. So yeah, it's an honor for you to suggest that.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to write them a letter. I'm going to attach this thing. I'm going to say you need to have your students read this.
Oh, that's neat. Now, we could talk about the specifics, but I actually would rather not, because it's a fairly significant issue when anti-abortion extremists or activists, when they say that it's right to kill an abortionist, and we say no, it's not, then their arguments are it's right to use lethal force to defend innocent life, yourself or others. If someone would have killed Adolf Hitler, that would have been justified, most moral people believe. And so they make these arguments, and they show that an abortionist, a typical abortionist, is a mass murderer who kills thousands to more like tens of thousands of innocent human beings, in fact, babies, and he does it for money. So they argue, of course, it would be right to kill an abortionist. And so what you have to do is look at the principles involved. Look at the underlying principles.
Right. You have to look at what the authority that God gave to government.
Right.
And the authority that God gave to civilians.
Right.
And
because obviously he gave different authority to civilians that, as he had given to governments. And governments have the authority to use lethal force in a greater array of cases.
Yes.
They have more latitude in when they can kill people justly than civilians do. So you look at the principles to see if you're able to answer the question, what is the difference between the civilian authority to use lethal force and the government's authority to use lethal force? If you can clearly identify that, then you can answer the question about abortionists.
Well, what I like about this worksheet is that you just didn't make it up. I mean, this is the way God intended it.
Oh.
And he doesn't leave any wiggle room.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's just no wiggle room. I mean, you got the way you laid it all out. When I got to the end, I said, "Well, you know, there it is. It's all there."
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest this would be pretty hard to explain to people over the air or over the phone.
Yeah, it's a bit involved.
But I recommend everybody download it and read it.
Read it, or they go to kgov.com, our website, kgov.com. And why is it KGov, government? Because Christians are the only ones who are the most qualified to know how a government should function. Not every Christian, because most of us don't study the Bible, but God has revealed God has revealed his own thoughts and ideas and principles on how a family should run, how a church should run, and how the government should run.
And they all should be in balance.
That's right. They all have their respective domains, and God has an opinion on how these things should function. And we Christians, we don't even give God the courtesy anymore of considering his viewpoint. We just summarily dismiss everything.
Everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes.
Yeah, that's what God said, to condemn the whole nation of Israel. God said they didn't have a king, so everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. Hey, Tom, that one verse alone, if it's true, it refutes the Bob from Aurora who called into the show, and we had him at Sunday school yesterday at Denver Bible Church. And his argument was that the government should have no laws regarding morality and allow people to do whatever they want to do, whatever they think is right, and then they will rise up and they will be righteous because they will do what is right in their own eyes. He thinks that, well, being a Mormon, he says that he believes that people, human beings, are basically good. And
well, Jesus said that everyone, the majority, was basically bad.
Yeah, of course. Right. The whole Bible, from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden to the end of the book of Revelation, we find out that that people are fallen, they're sinful, they need to be redeemed. It's the message of the whole Bible, God's love for man in his effort to redeem us, redemption from our sin. And so that one verse said there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And when the Bible says that repeatedly, it's an utter condemnation of how evil the people were, because they didn't have the constraint that government is supposed to give so that people can live freely.
Well, didn't God allow man to live from Cain to Noah without government?
Right.
Right. It didn't work out too good, did it?
Right, from when Cain murdered Abel and God said no death penalty, that is called by theologians the dispensation of it's called the dispensation of conscience, because God withheld the authority to establish governments, for governments to arrest and prosecute criminals and punish them. God withheld the authority for the death penalty from Cain until the flood. And immediately after the flood, God authorized men, the leaders of men, governments, to execute all murderers. Every murderer shall surely be put to death, God said. And that's called the dispensation of human government. So before the flood, there was no human government and no death penalty. And God allowed us to see how would we live on our own without constraints from government, from God's law, being punished for our crimes. Just how would human beings live if they were free from all constraints? That's what liberals to this day tried to impose upon us.
And things got so bad that he couldn't even fix it.
That the whole world was evil. The thoughts of everyone were only wicked continually, and violence filled the earth. And so God destroyed all of mankind except for Noah, his wife, and three sons and their wives. Eight people.
Bob, just very quickly, didn't the French try that after the Revolution?
The French have tried it. Liberals have tried it. Schools, they've tried these special schools where there are no rules. And they tried to raise kids for 12 years in schools, experimental schools, where there are no rules. And those kids are dysfunctional, depressed, suicidal. They commit suicide at high numbers. It doesn't work. It's the lie from the beginning. And God has taught us the first great history lesson was that wicked men need the law. That was the first history lesson from Adam until Noah. Evil men need the law.
Amen.
Thank you, Tom. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate that endorsement for our abortion vigilantism worksheet. You can find it at our website, KGov. It's also at theologyonline.com. But KGov, KGOV.com. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So the homosexuals are getting married in Massachusetts. Aren't you thrilled that you're going to know who was the first couple married? Isn't that great? We'll probably, in city after city, we'll have city council referendums on recognizing May 17th as what? The official Homo Liberation Day or something? Isn't that great? We'll have their pictures in People magazine, the first homosexual perverted couple to get married. But let's go to the phones. So we couldn't have an H-free zone this month of May. Normally May is National Homosexuals Make Me Ill Month. And we usually honor that with a H-free zone for the month. But we couldn't do it this month because of today's news. All right, let's go to the phones. Now, I realize that sounds a little harsh to some Christians, but let me just clarify. For some Christians, let me clarify this. We have, as a Christian community, we have respected and tolerated homosexuals. And as a result, millions of people have destroyed their lives by experimenting with homosexuality. The Bible, our founding fathers, the Judeo-Christian heritage for 3,500 years did not teach to respect and tolerate homosexuals. It taught to stigmatize the behavior. So we should re-stigmatize homosexuality, recriminalize it, and try to get them to repent. But if you're going to respect homosexuality and defend the legalization of homosexuality, your effort to get them to repent is going to be paltry. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-8-NYART. In Brighton, Colorado, John, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob. How are you today, sir?
Welcome, John. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just had a question regarding the state of, American women.
The state of American women?
Yes, sir.
I never heard of that state. American Samoa.
I guess it's in a really bad shape if what's going on over in Iraq is, with England and all that. It looks like it's pretty bad.
Well, I see what you're saying. In other words, the despicable Lindy England,
yes,
the private who was so despicable in her actions that she brought shame to all of America. And she did, because what she did, though the evidence is it was not authorized by any significant chain of command, the evidence is that she was doing what Hollywood and Howard Stern laugh about, and Playboy magazine, how sexual humiliation is the trademark of Howard Stern, and Playboy magazine, and Penthouse, the porn industry. They've probably taken in over $1 billion of revenue just on products that involve sexual humiliation.
Exactly. It's like using the weapons of Satan almost.
Well, sure. All right. Very good point. Now, John, of course, not all American women are like that.
Oh, right. I know. I heard some Christian men who counsel, that other single men to go out and find women from, other places of the country that have different cultural backgrounds.
Oh.
They go to Russia or the Philippines. I was just wondering. I was kind of wondering, too, is there wisdom in that when they say that, when they counsel, young men or older men to go out and find wives from other cultures?
Well,
they say,
when I talk to a Christian young man who would like to be married, I tell him, find a wife anywhere you could find her. If you got to go to Russia, go to Russia. Go wherever you got to go. Find a Christian, if you're a Christian. If you're an unbeliever, don't marry a Christian. You'll ruin her. So if you're a Christian, find a Christian and then marry her. And a lot of Christian teachers say, you don't need to worry. God has one person picked out for you, and he will, somehow he'll bring her to you, which is certainly not what the Bible teaches. You go out and find a wife. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It doesn't say on him whom a wife has fallen, a good thing has fallen on him. It says,
right,
you go out and find a wife. Now, you don't drag her by the hair, but you go and you find her and you marry her. And the sooner the better. And don't be engaged for a long time because you'll ruin your marriage. So quick, get engaged, and get married. The quicker the better.
All right. There's no country that raises one, you know, that raises a woman to be better wives and mothers than the other, in other words. There really isn't when you really look down at it.
Well, women and men in America are mostly broken, but they're not all broken. So they're mostly broken. But if you need to, go elsewhere. All right, John?
All right. Thank you, sir.
God bless you. I appreciate the call. 1-800-836-9278. So what do you think of that? God has the one perfect person picked out for you, and it's his will. He's decided eons ago, from before the foundation of the earth, he decided who you're going to marry. And then you married her, and it was hell on earth. You were miserable, and then you got divorced. And that was God's perfect plan for your life? No, that's all that is goofy theology. That's goofy theology. God made us. He gave us our faculties. He gave us an intellect, a heart, personalities. And God, like any proud father, wants his children to grow up, to mature, and make decisions. And so he doesn't write in the sky who you're supposed to marry. And so if God has chosen who everyone is supposed to marry and you have no choice, well, that's ridiculous. But if that were true, then don't marry. Just go to the marriage license office and just marry who's ever in line, because whoever you marry, it will have been God's will. On the other hand, if you think God has selected who you should marry, but if you're not careful, you could marry the wrong person. If you think that, then you're in big trouble, because chances are whoever God picked for you has already blown it and married the wrong person. So you're stuck. You got to settle for second best. And guess what? Some poor guy halfway around the world is going to be miserable marrying the wrong woman, because since somebody married your wife, you went and married some other guy's wife. And now it's a chain reaction. It's ruined the whole world. You see how stupid so much Christian theology is? It couldn't get more stupid. It's like from Mad Magazine. It's like Mad Magazine, spy versus spy. You know? John Calvin versus, and they're like fighting each other for who can come up with the most bizarre ideas of how life should work and what God is doing to us. So all that you've heard 10,000 times as a Christian, it's not true. God wants you to use the faculties he's given you and go out and find a wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Him on whom a wife has fallen has to put in an insurance claim. So we're out of time. Hey, study the Bible with us. I think you'll enjoy it. Check out Predestination and Free Will. You can get it on, 6 audio tapes and an album for $32.95. You'll love it. Predestination and Free Will from Bob and Yurt Live. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.